The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your hosts for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. And today I'm joined by a special guest and friend, Doug Park of Park & DeBage, attorneys at law. Jonathan Ziegler, my normal co-host, is out on extended leave, and we expect him back in a few weeks. So once again, we have Doug joining us today. And Doug, thank you for being in the studio.
Thanks, Keith. It's a pleasure to be here.
Just a reminder is that Doug was on one of our earlier shows, Off the Blockchain with Park & DeBage. It was one of our most downloaded episodes, and we're just so happy that Doug could join us again today. The main topic for today will be what's the biggest news, and that happens to be the largest crypto exchange theft in history of about $500 million. We'll talk to Doug about that a little bit later in the show. Last week, we had Stephen Liu, co-founder and COO of Sparks, on our show, and he did a really fantastic job explaining his entrepreneurial journey, coming from a large tech, established tech company, to starting a company that was in a very crowded space, ticket and event management. And he had gone through the journey about how they turned that mature space into something that really enables anyone who produces events, whether it's an official professional event producer or just other folks too that have to do events for trade shows, for their own corporations, and for nonprofits, which I'm heavily involved with. It's just a really great platform. If you wanted to know more about last week's show, just listen to our podcast with Steve or come to Sparxo, SPARXO.SVIN.biz. So some news for this week. Beyond the crypto theft, we had talked a lot in the last two or three episodes on the Spectre Meltdown chip flaws, which were Intel, AMD, affecting almost every modern-day computer there is, including cell phones. And what was funny about this is we had mentioned how people don't normally understand that the chip manufacturer is, in essence, a supplier to operating systems. So whether it's Microsoft Windows, whether it's the Linux operating system or the Apple Mac OS operating system, they're actually what we talk a lot about on our show. These are vendor relationships with each other. And so last week, Intel had announced that the folks should not be installing their patches, even though that was a best practice. And then this week, Microsoft announced that they had a patch to Intel's patch. So now you're getting to the kind of seedy underworld of how vendors handle things between suppliers and customers, even when it's these two large tech behemoths. We had mentioned the main thing is that this chip flaw is not going away anytime soon. Even with all these patches, there are lots of companies trying to fix for it. But since it's a hardware-level flaw, hackers will continue to try to exploit that, and it's just a game of cat and mouse until a re-architecture happens. Doug, one of the other big news items was that the SEC is coming down on an exchange called Bitfinex. What do you think about that?
Well, it's really not surprising. We've been thinking and telling people for several weeks that the SEC and the CFTC are likely to go after exchanges for being non-compliant or being fraudulent in their activities, as opposed to companies, because if they go after companies, they've got to go after a lot of companies. Whereas if they go after an exchange, there are a lot of companies on that exchange, And then they've already effectively covered a lot of companies. So the problem is that with exchanges, they need to be registered and approved by regulators in the United States and elsewhere too, potentially. And that's why exchanges are actually very easy targets for the regulators.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think with, we had said 2018 was going to be a year with lots of activity in the blockchain space. I know that your firm and our firm both consult with a lot of these, we'll call them startups. And there's been a lot of interesting, just listening in conversations, a lot of these startups believe that not registering in the U.S. is, I wouldn't say a way to get around regulation. They just think that the U.S. being so strict that opening up on an exchange in Japan or opening an exchange in another jurisdiction will be easier.
Well, that's possible that registering on the exchange could be easier, but that doesn't mean that they've suddenly escaped the long arm of the U.S. regulators and authorities. I think that's a misconception. There's a separate issue of even before a company gets its token listed on an exchange, whether or not issuing their token from outside of the United States is going to allow them to escape again the U.S. regulators, and that's certainly not the case either. That's a misconception. So, and the other thing to think about is exchanges in at least certain other countries are being regulated by those countries' regulators. And some people don't actually realize that. They just think, well, if we put our token on an exchange in some other country, there's no regulation. Now, in certain places, that might be true, but in those countries, those exchanges are actually seen by others in the cryptocurrency world as being fishy, suspect, and less legitimate. So you may not even want your token on exchanges that are located in some of these countries with no regulation.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Doug. I think this is where I would liken blockchain as being, as we talked about in previous shows, a huge market opportunity, very disruptive. It's going to change the world in a lot of ways. But we're still in the Wild West phase. And I know that a lot of things we're talking about, some people aren't quite yet up to speed on. So we'll spend a lot of time today going into more detail of what people should be thinking about. So thanks for joining us. We'll get back to Doug in just a few minutes. I did want to bring up a few other newsworthy items of this week. One, if you are using an antivirus software called Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes had an update over the weekend. It's used by millions and millions of people. That update was seriously flawed. It took down a lot of computers. So be sure to, if you have that, if you haven't updated it yet, make sure you apply the correct patch. If you have updated it, there is hope. They are putting out a fix. Another thing that we were talking about is, well, Doug, this is just more of an interesting news bite, is that they were talking about with all this security concerns, all these breaches, all these password thefts, that based on your generation, you may or may not take on to certain types of authentication. So really, this article from IBM was just saying that millennials are the most likely to accept biometric authentication, which I think is interesting. Gen Xers like us, it's more about still complex passwords. We're very unlikely to use facial recognition, but millennials are also very likely to use facial recognition technology. So for today's show, we're going to be talking more about crypto heists, crypto exchanges, the history of Bitcoin, and just a slew of other things that are going on in this space. If you need more information, come to us at info@svin.biz. Also, as a reminder, I will be the MC at the 2018 San Jose Smart City Conference. If you're interested in being a speaker, if you have a technology-related smart city, or if you want to be a sponsor, come to svin.biz as well, and we'll give you information there. So we'll be right back with Professor Park. Thanks.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, Doug Park. Doug Park is with the law firm Park & DeBage. We had him on the show previously on one of our most downloaded episodes, Off the Blockchain with Park & DeBage, where we were explaining some very basic concepts around Bitcoin, blockchain, and distributed ledger technologies. Just some background on Doug. Doug is from Harvard Law School. He is actually the only person I know that has a PhD from Stanford Business School, not an MBA. And we like to refer to him as the professor. Thanks again for joining us, Doug.
Thanks, Keith. Great to be here.
So, Doug, the reason why we have on the show this week, the biggest news was over the weekend, the largest crypto exchange of Japan was hacked, Coincheck. And they took, well, it's funny, when the announcement was made in the U.S., it said that they took, you know, something like $500 million of a cryptocurrency called NEM. But when I read the opening article from the Japanese news service, it actually was more about between 540 and 570 million. But the explanation was as soon as that heist took over, that the exchanges, the value of that cryptocurrency went down. And that's what the discrepancy between the amount was. But I think more than the discrepancy of the amount, how does an exchange get that much cryptocurrency taken?
Well, it's interesting because cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin in and of themselves are secure. They're very difficult to hack because they have very long passwords and keys that are almost impossible to decrypt. But with an exchange, it's just like the coins and the tokens are being held there by the exchange. And so there are really two possible points of entry. The first one is kind of through the internet, and depending on how the coins are held, the wallets may have an entry point through the internet that hackers can access. Secondly, I've spoken to a number of smart contract experts who say that another way that exchanges can be hacked is through problems or deficiencies in the smart contracts that regulate or control how the cryptocurrencies are transferred from the exchange to another party, in this case, the hacker.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I think just to review a few concepts we've mentioned before, a crypto exchange is analogous to me as like a stock brokerage firm that's holding your stocks, right? So whether it's GE or Microsoft or Cisco Systems stock, it's being held there. So that's what a crypto exchange is doing. When you decide to transact in cryptocurrencies, you're choosing to hold it in an exchange. And there are things called wallets, as you mentioned, Doug, and the wallet is analogous to a physical wallet, except that the wallets can be either software-based or hardware-based. And a lot of the best practices from my friends who are into crypto is that they choose to, once they purchase cryptocurrencies, it takes extra steps, but they actually download it into a hard wallet and then keep it off the network. And that's really, in terms of like what we call cold storage, that's a very safe way of a person or individual being able to securely hold their cryptocurrency. But when the case of a Coincheck or any other exchange getting hacked, like you mentioned, there hasn't been a case yet where the actual crypto algorithm like a Bitcoin has been hacked itself. I know people are trying. This is really where the housing of that crypto is being hacked, and people should be very aware of that, especially as when we refer to a lot like Bitcoin, it's going mainstream. You can now get it in your pension fund. You can do it in your 401k. There are retailers that accept Bitcoin. This is where I think people really need to have the education. So let's go more into that, Doug.
Sure. Be happy to.
When people – so Doug, you and your partner Reza are experts in helping startups, especially those being well, let me back up. We had said in Silicon Valley and other parts of technology centers that there are a lot of startups in emerging technology, whether it's Internet of Things, whether it's blockchain, whether it's cannabis, which is kind of tapered right now due to the legal and regulatory climate, or fintech or regtech, regulation technology. There's a lot of smart people getting into this space, but they don't have the experience with laws or regulations. That's where you and I come in. But even less than that, the people who aren't developing technology, there are people who are just jumping into the markets. What's some advice for them to consider before doing that?
Take a big breath, a deep breath, and pause. Because right now, you know, we're seeing this FOMO phenomenon. FOMO meaning fear of missing out. So we're seeing people literally with blinders just throwing money into the blockchain and cryptocurrency space. And that's where you have to be really careful. You can let other people do that, and you may actually miss out on some opportunities, but you will also be protecting yourself against the very real possibility now of having your money stolen from an exchange, from a digital wallet, or from putting your money into a company that's committing fraud. So again, take a very deep breath and pause, smell the flowers, enjoy the blue sky, okay, and hopefully the fresh air wherever you are before you jump in to putting your money into blockchain and cryptocurrency ventures.
That's great advice, Doug. As a former technologist and a banker, I can tell you that in 2008, when that mortgage crisis happened, so this was traditional money, initially with that big hit, the people who didn't lose money were the people who did not jump in, right? The people who just had money on the side, they actually came out ahead, and it actually took many, many years for those who lost money to recover, if at all. So it's really good advice not to jump into something you don't know. Warren Buffett says it all the time. Warren Buffett, a famous investor for Berkshire Hathaway, always talks about how he missed out on a lot of technology deals that were very solid and stable technology deals, but he just didn't understand what he was investing. So that's really great advice. In terms of starting up a business, because you're just a super technical person and you understand technology really well, what advice do you have for those folks?
Well, I think it's really important for these really super smart people with great ideas and incredible passion for what they're doing to understand the environment in which they are operating. And so from our perspective, it's the legal and regulatory issues. Now, what's really important to think about from that perspective is how do these legal and regulatory issues affect your business? How do they affect your business strategy? Not just what is the legal risk, but are these external legal and regulatory issues going to affect how your business can be implemented and realized?
Yeah, now that's really where I think we should be focused, is that there are a lot of smart folks and they've seen other companies, especially when we talk about non-blockchain companies, just unicorns and what we call unicorns, companies with these really fast $1 billion valuations. They want to get in on that. They didn't see them hit any regulatory hurdles. And they're just, like we said, there's rocket riders and rocket builders. These rocket builders are shooting for the moon. So thanks again for being here, Doug. Don't go away. We will continue on this topic. So to find out more about how you should consider starting your technology company from a regulatory and legal process, get a hold of us at info@svin.biz or come to svin.biz and you can find out more about either Doug's law firm or our consulting group. Thanks. Don't go away.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. Joined today with me is Doug Park of Park & DeBage, attorneys at law. And for today's show, we've been talking a lot about blockchain, the crypto theft that happened over the weekend where the largest Japanese exchange had gotten over $500 million worth of cryptocurrency stolen. And we've also been talking about the regulatory landscape that's continuing to get more and more complicated as U.S. regulators and regulators around the world are getting very concerned about all of these investments and all these companies starting up. And so, Doug, we had talked about in the last segment how there has been a lot of fraud and that these frauds come in different forms. We have frauds even now with companies that are pretending to be blockchain-related companies. We had things that might not even be considered fraud. So a couple of examples we've talked about is like a division of Lipton Tea had put blockchain in their name and they went up, their value went up. Kodak licensed their name to a blockchain miner and their value went up. What is really causing the concern with the government?
The main concern with the government is investors being defrauded. Companies saying things that are not true, that are misrepresentations, promises of outsized, spectacular returns that just simply are not possible. That is what the government is worried about first and foremost, is protecting investors from companies who are making these false statements to them.
Yeah, and I think that's great that the government cares enough, seriously, that they want to protect individuals from these types of frauds. But another thing that I'm seeing, and I know you and I are both getting lots of clients and calls from, is that we have legitimate companies that started this blockchain or emerging technology path a couple of years ago. So we talked in the last segment how the regulatory environment is changing rapidly, becoming more and more strict and structured. There's companies that are kind of in this limbo state that they've been building technology thinking that they were going to emerge either through launching their technology or doing an ICO, initial coin offering, or listing on some other exchange, and they're kind of stuck in limbo. What's some advice for them?
Well, again, I think there's a couple of possibilities. One is move very quickly, okay, and take advantage of the current legal and regulatory environment, especially if you believe it's going to turn for the worse in the near future. So one possibility is to simply take action now. Move as fast as you can. Do your token sale, because it's a little harder for the regulators to come after you after they've changed the rules and you've already operated under a previous set of rules. The second possibility, and again, it really depends on your risk profile and risk tolerance, is to wait. Wait until there's more certainty, clearer statements and rules and regulations issued by the regulators so you feel more comfortable about doing something. Now, again, you may feel like it's safe to go do something now. Again, that's something you should discuss with your advisors. Both Keith's firm and my firm do that a lot for our clients. It's something that we help them work through these decisions. So I think those are really kind of the two main courses of action that people can take when they're trying to think about what to do in a rapidly changing legal and regulatory environment.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. And I think one thing to stress is we're assuming that the companies that want to go forward are legitimate companies. I mean, I know there's a lot of fraudulent ideas out there that are trying to make a quick buck. I see press releases and other news items on a daily basis. There's one kind of fly-by-night ICO or blockchain companies that pretty much sent a parting gift or a really nasty message to the people invested in them. They took all their money. So let's focus on what you were just talking about. Our clients being companies that want to do the right thing, that want to be reputable, and they're stuck because they've invested a lot of time and effort and money into building out their idea. And so in some cases, I talked to a company last week that they don't even use legal counsel. And I worry about that a lot. I mean, this is not something to joke about. This isn't anymore about – we talk about garage startups all the time. We talk about two or three folks in a garage having a great idea and launching. And that works when the technology or the idea doesn't impact financials, doesn't impact health or safety. But now we're getting into all kinds of regulatory regulated industries. And this is where I see the danger is that people see or follow what this whole dream of Silicon Valley is, starting up your business in a garage. And it used to be three people, but now we're saying, well, you also need three people, a regulatory advisor, a legal advisor. In some cases, now you need a PR person, making sure you make the right statements. It's getting very complicated.
Oh, it certainly is. And that company that you were talking about, if they're worried about the fact that they don't have legal counsel, they should go out and get one. Okay, I mean, there are lawyers who provide all different kinds of fee arrangements. Some are more friendly to entrepreneurs and companies who don't have a lot of resources at the beginning. Some are less friendly, but they should shop around and find one that works for them. And I agree now, especially with these blockchain companies, they realize they need a lot of external help. Marketing people, PR people, legal, regulatory, technical, in many cases. Sometimes they realize that even though they may be, they may have backgrounds in software development, they may have worked for the best companies like Google, Facebook, you know, Salesforce, whatever, they realize that this world of blockchain and cryptocurrency is very complicated technically as well. And there are a lot of different technical platforms, blockchain algorithms that are out there, and they're just proliferating by the week. And so it's very hard to keep up with that. They need to go outside to get the right expertise.
Yeah, let's talk about a success story. I know that you have been named as an advisor to a token that recently announced publicly that they're available, which is B Token. What are some of the things and B Token is starting off, former Airbnb, former Uber employees and others, they are trying to be, or they are the blockchain company that is tackling Airbnb, correct?
That's right. That's their first application and market. They're going to expand way beyond that if they can be successful in the home sharing market. What I'll say is, they're building protocols, technical and software protocols that they believe can be applied to a number of different markets and industries, not just home sharing.
Right. Why I brought up Btoken, since they're public, since you're an advisor to them, is that they actually took all those steps necessary because they just launched officially, I think a month ago, month and a half ago. They had to go through all these things. They had to go through the PR process, public relations process. They had to have a documented white paper. I think a lot of startups out there have really great ideas, great engineers, but they really lack an understanding that this is both utility, as we've spoken before, utility in your product, but also at the same time, just to the nature of what your token is, that there are financial aspects that you may not be aware of.
Right. And so I think the great thing about the B Token team is that the founders realized that these were all issues, the financial, the marketing, the PR, the legal and regulatory, were all things that they needed to cover and take care of. And I think this attitude comes from the top, from the founding team. The sense of we need to do things the right way, and it's going to help us in our business if we do that. So they've been extremely successful. For instance, they built one of the largest Telegram communities with almost 50,000 members. It's really remarkable. Most of these ICO companies, by the time they're at their public sale, they may have a couple thousand. Maybe 10,000 if they've had a lot of success in building up their community, but close to 50,000 is just incredible.
Yeah, I think Telegram is like the latest hottest messenger application, and I'd read that they too are going to invest in a blockchain technology for their own service. So it's great. It's amazing the amount of scale that Telegram has. I mean, your story about 50,000 Telegram users in a group. I haven't heard 50,000. I've heard a couple thousand or a few thousand, but that's just off the charts in terms of how fast they scaled.
Yes, and just going back to Btoken, I think, again, they took a lot of steps to be legally compliant. And so, for instance, with their private sale, which was at the beginning of January, they sold $5 million worth of tokens in 5 minutes. They sold out all of their $5 million in 5 minutes. That's just remarkable. I mean, that's not even a public sale. That was limited to accredited investors. So not everyone could buy into it at that time.
Could you go really quickly into what a private sale is?
Well, a private sale means that not anyone can buy. Okay. Usually a private sale involves a discount. The price of the token is discounted from the price that it will be sold at to the general public. But a private sale also means that only accredited investors, which is a very specific, you have to meet a very specific set of criteria under the securities laws, only accredited investors can participate in a private sale.
Thanks, Doug. So just to summarize this segment of the show, we are talking about that there are complexities involved with startups that involve regulatory and legal aspects that old startups or former startups might not have had to worry about. It's just the way that the landscape is today, and that successful companies really should be incorporating these expenses and these advisors into the mix before they take any further steps, because the place that they might be going to, especially with some of these news stories around the SEC, around these other regulators around the world, could get very, very dicey for them. And that's why we really encourage getting the right advisors for these groups of people. Once again, if you need to get more information on what we're discussing today, email us at info@svin.biz or come to our website, svin.biz. You can find more information about Doug and his practice or ours there. Thank you very much. And we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, with my special guest, Doug Park of Park & DeBage, Attorneys at Law. Today's show has really been a public service announcement. Through the news of this very large crypto heist from a Japanese exchange where over $500 million in U.S. value of a cryptocurrency called NEM, people really need to be very, very conscientious and cautious about what they jump into. We had talked about for individuals who are investing or thinking about investing in cryptocurrencies, it's not just Bitcoin. There are things that are called altcoins. And these altcoins are similar to Bitcoin, that they're a cryptocurrency, but a lot of people just jumping into them. We want people to be really, really cautious about where they put their physical money or fiat currency into a digital currency or asset. So, Doug, thanks again for joining us. You had some great advice for people thinking about jumping in. Let's repeat that.
Sure. So I would advise people, again, to, I know it's very tempting with all of these opportunities out there to put your money into cryptocurrency and the cryptocurrency space, but again, take a deep breath, pause, gather information, do your due diligence, and evaluate the opportunity. There will be plenty of good opportunities, and there will be some bad ones. You don't want to be the person who just jumps in blindly and puts your money on something without doing this evaluation first, and that takes a little bit of time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do your due diligence. I recall late 90s, I was at Cisco, the dot-com era, that think about the companies that are now gone. So pets.com, webvan.com, they're gone. But at the same time, Amazon, Netflix, all these companies that came after eBay, that came after the fact, they're thriving. Amazon's now the, you know, one of the highest market cap companies in the world. People really need to be cognizant of making good choices with their we'll call it technology investments, because we're not a show about investment advice, but we're just making sure people are very cautious that as technology crosses over into what people view as the financial world, that they need to really think about all the things that they're doing.
Yes, and I think this is related to an earlier point that we discussed about, well, why are the regulators looking at blockchain and cryptocurrency companies? And it's really to try to protect investors. So one thing that has already come out from this CoinCheck theft of all this cryptocurrency in Japan is this. You know, CoinCheck was actually regulated and approved by the Japanese government to hold these coins. And the fact the Japanese government has regulations for cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency exchanges. However, those regulations don't really cover the security of those cryptocurrency exchanges. So on the one hand, it's kind of great that the Japanese government is trying to protect people by regulating the exchanges. But on the other hand, they missed something, which was having some standards for these exchanges to have a certain level of security to protect people who put their money into those exchanges.
And just to hold that thought, just when you say security, I want to be clear. This is like information security.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Technical security.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we had talked about also earlier in the show, we had talked about digital wallets or hard wallets. We talked about cold storage and hot storage. And again, if you don't understand what I'm saying right now, then you should not be investing in cryptocurrency. And that's as blunt as we can be. For information on this aspect of it, Doug's firm and our firm, we're thinking about actually doing a mini conference or a conference. So if you're interested, send us an email, info@svin.biz, because we think this is a very important topic. We don't think there's enough education happening in the consumer world, and we're very worried that people are just jumping in. So if there's interest, we'll consider putting together some type of mini conference in the Bay Area if you live in the Silicon Valley or San Francisco area, just because we think it's important. And then we had also talked, Doug, today's show, that there's many companies in a state of limbo, startups or companies pivoting to adopt emerging technology like blockchain, and they're really stuck right now because they're not sure what they should be thinking or doing. What was the advice we were giving to them?
Well, the first piece of it, course of action you could take is if you've already had a plan in place, go implement it quickly to take advantage of the current legal and regulatory environment because it is rapidly changing. The second one is especially if you don't have a good plan in place, to take a step back and evaluate what's happening in this changing environment, and then decide what to do without just jumping in again with your company without understanding the real implications. So let me just tell a quick story about that, Keith.
Sure.
Which is this. I get phone calls from people who say, I'm going to start my token sale in 18 hours, or I've already started it. Now what do I do? Okay, or I saw an article, do I need to change my plan? But we want to still start our token sale tomorrow. That's not going to work. That's not a good way to go. That's when you need to pause and sit back and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and with that, Doug, I mean, that's great advice. And especially if anyone's getting a letter from a regulator, they really do need to call us. So sorry we're out of time. If you need to get a hold of us, reach us at info@svi.biz. That's svin.biz. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith or Jonathan about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN. Be sure to listen again.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.